Welcome everyone to this week's weekly market update, August 14th, about 3 hours prior to the equity market close with myself and Carl. How are you?
I am doing just swell today, Scott. Yourself?
Doing well. Let's jump straight into the equity markets. It has been and not complaining at all. It has been quite the boring sort of week since last week's podcast in terms of equity markets, and boring is better, especially during this seasonal type of year, knowing that August, especially the first 9 trading days, which we just eclipsed yesterday. And so being able to get past that, which is typically a little bit softer than the back half of August. And then, of course, we have September to sort of continue to, contend with. And the only reason I say contend is because August and September are typically, from a calendar and a historical seasonal basis, are the two softest months of the year. And so far, so good. However, September is going to likely be a little bit different than what we're used to historically. And the reason for that is, let's go ahead and jump into Carl's corner.
Looking at our probabilities, we have shifted into the 99% chance of a rate cut. And since we've been doing this podcast, at least, for me, this year and a half doing this podcast, anytime it's hit in the 90s, it's as close to the guaranteed word as you can use. And so after the PPI numbers came out, which were not great for the inflation, it's still over a 90% chance of a rate cut. So we're seeing enough outside and internal pressure for this rate cut. Now, it more drastically changed the October and December rate cut possibilities. So we had the Governor Bowman come out, and she actually speaks next week, which will be very interesting to hear what she has to say. As you've already said, Scott, the meeting themselves, what the decision is made has an effect, but so do the governor speaking and the minutes coming out.
Yeah, so next Tuesday is Bowman, and then following that, next Wednesday are the meeting minutes. And what we know is that the minutes are going to reflect two dissenters, one of which is speaking the day before, which is Bowman. And so I would imagine that by next week's podcast, we're going to see, just based on speculation of what will come out of her mouth as well as the minutes, I would imagine we will see that 90% go back up to 99, and it'll be very interesting. But typically that tool is good for 20 days prior looking. So we're basically talking about 2 more weeks, and if we're still in the 90 percentile, then you feel pretty good about a 25 basis point cut. And that, again, and I know we talked about this last week, no, that's not going to have a dramatic effect on inflation. And I think that's going to be for those that are against a rate decrease, the argument would be that that's going to somehow cause a resurgence in inflation. And I don't believe that it will, but what it will do is restore confidence, consumer confidence, and at least it provides a little bit more of a clear picture as to what their forward path looks like, because we have literally been talking about potential rate cuts since the beginning of the year. And here we are in August, and at one point 2 weeks ago, September only had a 40% chance of a rate cut. And October wasn't looking much better. I believe it was at 60%. So, at one point it looked like there's potential of no rate cuts. And one of the members even alluded to that. But now we held firm that we still believe there might be probably two, maybe even three. And now we're starting to see those probabilities start to swing back in sort of our predictive pattern back at the beginning of the year. But what's so important about that is that boost in consumer confidence directly bleeds over into really all investments, real estate included, but for our purposes, equity markets. And two, Carl, we spent the last, let's see, I guess 3 weeks, dripping more cash, one, into interest rate sensitive sectors. Now, this was before these probabilities spiked for September, but also replacing some of the current positions into more interest rate sensitive areas and sectors. So I'm pretty excited about, especially if these rates or these probabilities hold, I'm excited about what the balance of the year could really look like. And probability wise, it's still on track for what we talked about at the very beginning of the year.
100%. And to tack on and add a little extra layer to your 20 days, prior to the Fed meeting, that those probabilities tend to lock up. I think it's 18 days prior to that, 18, 19 days prior to that is the PCE numbers, which are the ones that have the greatest effect on the Fed and their decisions. So essentially, what you're looking like is August 29th, the PCE numbers come out. As soon as those numbers come out, whatever the probabilities flip to, that's what's going to end up happening 20 days later. And it's fantastic how, you mentioned 20 days prior, are you sure? Is that really how it works? And I can now show you, yes, because the biggest factor, PCE, comes in 19 to 20 days before that
Right.
Fed meeting. And that gives them plenty of time to rig that in. The probabilities have officially shifted. And then we'll have a great runway of knowledge of what's going to happen September 17th.
Yeah, absolutely. And it all ties in together. I mean, to a degree, they being the Fed, they are pretty data dependent. They will often say they are 100% data dependent. I personally don't think that's exactly the case, but they are very much, they're very heavy, data dependent. And so those numbers will be very interesting to look at. Absolutely give us a lot to talk about, on that podcast. But all in all, we've said this before, but I learned a long, long time ago that we actually had this conversation earlier today, that when you have accelerating or decelerating interest rates, if you're in one of those environments, in other words, increasing or decreasing interest rate environments, all you pay attention to are the rates. Everything else in the background is just noise. Not to say that it can't create some volatility, but the trajectory is going to be based on what those rates are doing. And if rates are coming down, then you're going to see those that increase in inflows across the board. It doesn't have to just be in the equity markets, but it will partake. The equity markets will absolutely partake in that increased inflows that occur that are a result of lower lending costs, essentially. And so, yeah, that's something that we'll probably be focused in on for quite a while. I can't remember what that topic was a couple of years ago, or like maybe last year, where we kept saying the same thing over and over and over. But it was true. I have a feeling that as long as we're looking at a decelerating interest rate environment, we're going to continue to be talking about increased equity prices as well as treasury prices, as well as real estate for those that are involved there. But yeah,
Yeah.
that's all good stuff on the data front, Carl.
Yeah, and we're and to speak on real estate, we're seeing the 10-year note, which is the main driver for mortgage rates, is coming down. And last week was hitting its year low. So the mortgages are becoming freer and easier to get a hold of, and having a lower interest rate makes it so much better, and the market and everyone with the money is going to be able to actually get a mortgage, right? And
And
actually be able to buy their home that they've now been waiting for a year, 2, 3 years for this interest rate to come down. And now they don't have to worry about getting, maybe a 10% mortgage. They can get a 6 or a 5% mortgage here come shortly.
when it comes to that side of the investment world, what's very interesting is how powerful the competition for investment dollars are. So, like, if you look in the insurance space, that's why you always see. That's why you always get 10 different quotes, and one of them's going to be a couple of dollars less than the highest one. Same thing in the mortgage space. The competition will drive those rates lower. And so that's something that will be kind of a secondary impact from the primary, which is the Fed adjusting the rates down. But then the secondary being that competition for investment dollars, where the lenders just continually try to undercut each other. And that's a good thing. I mean, that's a good thing, especially for people invested in the real estate side or you know, on the insurance side. But all that money too then ends up back in the different investment areas, one of which is the equity markets. So it can be a very interesting time, and I think a very bullish one based on interest rates. And we will continue to harp on that. Of course, there's a lot of other things in the background that are going on or could potentially go on. But at the end of the day, interest rates play the biggest role in determining the final outcomes, in my opinion.
You're absolutely correct. We have strategies that we go through, and the first filter we have is what are the macroeconomics? Because the macroeconomics determine everything else. And the biggest and baddest one out there are interest rates. So as long as the interest rates are moving in a positive direction, the rest is, like you just said, it's just a little bit of excess noise. And we just focus on the main driver, which will be the interest rates.
Well, that's absolutely right, Carl. And that's why we have a system that follows the various aspects of the market that need to be addressed. So, with that, Carl, do you have anything else?
No, sir, I do not. But if any of the listeners out there think that someone might enjoy our market commentary, feel free to forward us on over to them. We're also on the iHeartRadio app and the Podbean radio app.
Yes, thank you for that. And with that, we're going to go ahead and wish everyone a happy upcoming Friday and weekend. And we're going to also go ahead and look forward to doing this again next week.